Praise be to God. Are you excited? Yes. Folks, these are not regular church meetings. Hello? So we don't really have an agenda. Jesus is the agenda. The Holy Spirit is the agenda. So if you're waiting for your 3-5 song, 2 slow songs, a sermonette for Christianette that go home and smoke cigarette while they're surfing the net, you're in the wrong place. Thank you for your collaboration. When we have these meetings around the world, around America, when I come in, man, I may have 99 problems, but preaching is not one of them. You understand me? I'm not here just to try to preach, and I'm just here to try to flow. Try to walk beside him, and we have maximum impact. Thank God for the worship team. That is so helpful. Thank you. Amen. Praise be to God. All right. Let's dive into it. Are you ready? Glory be to God. Now the temperature is going to go up. And, those of you that have never heard me, it's not that I think that you're deaf. It's not that I think that the microphone is not working. But it's just that I believe so much in what I'm doing. I know I'm not in one of our international gathering with thousands of people. But I'm the same preacher in every venue. So Genesis 22. Genesis 22, beginning on the 15th verse. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Genesis 24, beginning on the 63rd verse. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and she saw Isaac. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted. That's another word for unpacking. She dismounted from her camel. All right? And 66. And the servant told all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So somebody said this, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amen. And then another verse that I want you to look at here is verse 11. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Amen. And then Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Beginning on the 6th verse. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and those of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Galatians chapter 3, beginning on the 29th verse. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. Praise be to God. So raise your hands or stand up. So stand up one more time and raise your hands. towards heaven. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you. I boldly declare that I believe in the supernatural. I believe in miracles. This evening, Lord, I ask you to give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a will to obey, and faith to act. In the name of Jesus, I take my position in Christ, and I take authority over every spirit that does not confess the name of Jesus. I command them to leave this place, and I declare that this place is an open heaven. The Spirit of God is free to move. The angels of God are ascending and descending. They are going to and fro to execute the commands of God's word. Preach, Holy Spirit. Teach, Holy Spirit. Prophesy, Holy Spirit. Heal the sick, God. Do what only you can do. And take all the glory in the matchless name of Jesus. Can you burn with a shout and say amen? Amen. Tell the person next to you, you may be seated, but please don't be defeated. Charles Finney, the famous revivalist, said there would be no revival if Mr. Amen, Mr. Red Eye are not present in the meeting. So I took that and changed that a little bit. And I said there would be no revival if Mr. Amen, Mr. Hallelujah, or Mrs. Glory are not present in the meeting. I wonder if Mr. Amen is here today. Amen. I wonder if Mr. Hallelujah is here today. Hallelujah. I wonder if Mrs. Glory is here today. Glory. Some people come to church to speculate. For those of you who love to think in nuances, you love to divide matters, you like to study the ramification of the thing. You know how to move to the serendipity of the English language with oratory finesse. You are not emotional. You are cerebral. Thank you for your support. Some people come to church to speculate. Some people come to church to spectate. Some people come to church to pontificate. But God is looking for someone that will come in to participate. Can you say amen with fire? Can you say hallelujah with fire? Can you say glory three times? Say my camels are coming. My camels are here. We introduced this prophetic message this morning. I'm just going to give you a short synoptical review because I like to push in a little bit deeper today and go into this. So we understand that the choosing of Isaac's bride is one of the most beautiful stories that has ever been recorded. In the story, we have the narrative. We have the explanation, the illustration, and the application. We have the facts, we have the figure, we have the reference, the record, and the representation. We understand that Abraham is a type and shadow of God the Father in him being willing to offer his only son, Isaac. And we understand that Isaac is a type and shadow of Christ in his miraculous conception and birth. And him being willing to be offered by his dad on the altar. We understand that Rebecca, the bride, is a type and shadow of the bride of Christ. The type and shadow of the bride of Christ, the church. And we understand that Eliezer, the servant who goes out, his name in the original language means God has helped. He's a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. And in this story, there is a prophetic, present, and practical application. So on this journey that Abraham is on in obeying the call of God to his life, as he is challenged by God to offer his only son, Isaac, on the altar, when he does it, this is where we are in Genesis 22, where he receives a powerful prophetic word. Because you've done this thing, says the Lord, you didn't withhold your only son from me. In blessing, I will bless you. In multiply, I will multiply you. I'll multiply your descendant. They shall be like the stars in the sky, like the sea, like the sand on the seashore, and they shall possess the gates of their enemy. So as you do a little etymology and word study here, you discover that those words, blessing and multiplying, blessing, I will bless you, is the word barat, which means to bow down, to worship in adoration. And so basically what God is saying to him, because you barak me, I'm going to barak you. Now we understand that God is in the higher order. He does not bow down to us. But what God is saying is, because you put me first, I am going to put you first. And what does it look like? I am going to multiply you. That word multiply has several root words in the original language. Rabib, rabba, rababa. Simply means I will rain down accumulations of blessings on you. I will multiply you by the myriads. I will multiply you by 10,000 millions. And then he gives him a vision, 8. What is that going to look like? Your seed shall be like the stars in the heaven, like the sand on the seashore, and they shall possess the gates of their enemies. So what God is saying is, because you barak me, I'm going to barak you. I'm going to rabah you. I'm going to rabib you. I'm going to rababa you. Thank you for your support. Because you put me first, I am going to put you first. I am going to multiply you by the myriad. I'm going to rain down accumulation on you. I'm going to multiply you by 10,000 million. And your victory is coming to your house, not just to your house, to your children's house, to your children's house. I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. Thank you for your support. How many of you ever always want him to be part of, you know, a wealthy man's family and wanted to be on his will if he died? If a Warren Buffett died and put you there as number one of Jeff Bezos, guess what? You have better than that today. Because Galatians 3:29 says that if you are in Christ, come on, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Come on, somebody. And Abraham and Isaac represent people in need, standing on the word, believing God for a breakthrough. But how did the breakthrough arrive? The scripture says in Genesis 24, verse 63, that Isaac went out in the field and he was meditating, and he lifted his eyes and he saw, behold, the camels were coming. And who was riding on the back of the camels? The Rebaba blessing. Rebecca was riding on the back of the camels. Come on. The fulfillment of the Barak blessing, the Rebaba blessing, the multiplication by the myriads came riding on the back of the camels. Because that won't happen unless Isaac gets a wife and gets some kids. So the breakthrough came riding on the back of the camels. Come on, somebody. What is the prophetic application? What is the present application? What is the practical application? God is saying to you, if you put me first, I am gonna put you first. I am gonna multiply you by the myriad, rain down accumulations of blessings on you. Come on, I'm gonna bring victory to your house, to your children's house. But how is this going to happen? Come on, the camels are coming. What is a camel? It is a transporter of God's blessing. It literally means the burden bearer, the one who carries a bounty for someone. Glory be to God. In Isaiah chapter 60, he's speaking about the end time ministry of the Lord. He said, multitudes of camels shall cover your lands. Come on. This breakthrough that is coming in this season is not coming from one side. It's coming from multiple sides. Come on. Hey, a camel, glory be to God, it's a force multiplier. God used a raven to bless Elijah, but that raven could only carry so much on one trip. But this time, come on, God is not sending the raven. He's sending the camel. Come on now. It's a force multiplier. That little raven could only carry so much. But a camel can carry a lot. Come on. But it's not just going to be one camel. Come on. Multitudes of camels are coming your land. What are they going to carry? They carry gold. What is that? That is wealth. They carry incense. What is that? That's the anointing. They carry myrrh. That's what healing power. Glory be to God. And it's coming in different ways. Come on. Your breakthrough is coming in different ways. The enemy may come after you in one way, but he's going to run in seven different ways. Come on, somebody. So we established this morning that some of us are waiting for our camels. But for some of us, our camels are here. And we just have to learn to unpack them. And some of us, God has called us to be camels. Look at your neighbor and say, Barak, Rabah, Rababa. What is that? That's camel talk. Some of you men with your one pack, not six pack. You know, the camels, they have one hump. With 80 pounds of fat. The other one, they had two humps. Glory be to God. If your wife is making fun of you because you have a big belly, you tell her, hey, baby, I am a camel. And that's my hump. Come on. Thank you for your support. So Christianity is not about acquiring, but it's about unpacking the finished work of Christ. We established that this morning. So where I want to move the conversation forward tonight is, if the camels are here, how do we unpack them? First of all, you have to understand that the message of the camels coming is a prophetic indicator that this season, the season you're in, is changing. Yes. Let me explain this to you, for those of you who are hearing impaired. It says that when Rebecca dismounted from the camel, Isaac took her to his mother's tent. His mother had just died, and he was in a season of mourning and pain. And the Bible says he took her, and he was comforted from his mother's death. The camels coming to Isaac was a prophetic indicator of a change of a season. Glory be to God. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Your season of mourning is about to change into your season of dancing. Hey, though weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Glory be to God. The burden carrier, it's coming with a bounty. It's coming with a provision. It's coming with peace. Glory be to God. Hey, I know Pastor Sarah transitioned to heaven, and this is her birthday. But listen, comfort is coming to this church. Come on, somebody. I say comfort is coming to this church. Rejoicing is coming to this church. Blessing is coming to this church. Come on, it's not to say that the past was bad, but this is a new season of provision, of restoration, of acceleration, and blessing in this church. Shout, my camels are here. My comfort is here. My healing is here. My breakthrough is here. Shout glory three times. He made the camels kneel down in verse 11. You know, some of these camels, if you look at some of the studies, some of them could be up to 6 feet tall. How would you climb on something like that? Hello? I'm only 5'11". No, that's a joke. People always ask me, how tall are you? I say, 5'11". Then I say, that means that you are under 5 feet and qualify for disability with the American government. Thank you for your support. I'm 6'7". Hello? Camels, some of them were like 6'6", 10 feet, 11 feet long. And so how did they mount the camel? They made the camels kneel down. Hello? Glory be to God. And the camels kneel down by the well. I'm here to tell you right now, not only they kneel down, and that's how Rebecca was able to get on back on the back of the camels. And Eliezer led the camel. As they got there, she dismounted from the camel. And when she dismounted from the camel, come on, she stepped away from her past and stepped into her destiny after she was transported by the mechanism of God's delivery. Glory be to God. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but your giant is about to bow down. Your situation is about to bow down to you. Come on, a season of elevation is here. Come on, somebody. When she showed up on that well, she didn't know that in the next 24 hours, her season was about to change. I don't know who I'm preaching to. God can turn it around in 24 hours. Come on, the camels are coming. Simply means that God is about to leverage your situation and turn it around in 24 hours. Elijah prophesied about this time tomorrow, there will be food at the gate of Samaria. That speaks about 24 hours. In 24 hours, God can give you a miracle. Come on, somebody. It means 24 hours means it begins now. Your breakthrough begins now. Your turnaround begins now. Your healing begins now. The favor begins now. The open door begins now. The transformation begins now. The miracle starts now. Your healing, come on, your camels are coming. Your camels are here. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times. Shout glory. Come on, breakthrough. Miracles, signs and wonders, open door, favor, acceleration. Matakuski. Matakuski. Kuski palatukese. Palakutisi. Tapuki pala. Matakuski pala. Nuski. Paratutike la. Zapratutiki. Abaskuli taba. Matakuli sipa. Tungi kilimba. Even that which has been spoken and said that your days of success are over. Even words of derision that have been spoken, the Lord said, I heard it, but it shall not be so, because my redemptive plan for redeeming love has not been unfolded to the fullness of what I have spoken. And it shall be fulfilled. I will turn things and I will turn things around even quicker than you think. Maraskuti tipa atilikupa aduki balasuti tikiria adachukiria. And yet those of you that have been in a low place, those of you that have been dominated by your circumstance, even now I'm deploying my power and my ministering spirit to bring reinforcement and strengthen you. This is a season where things are going to begin to turn around. Chains are going to fall and doors are going to open. So now is time to rise in your spirits with expectation of faith and declare my word, for I watch over it to perform it and bring the manifestation of that which I've spoken over you. Yes. Glory be to God. Matashu su sun sundi ubiliskunde tandu tishkuri sa. Yeah, I have an assignment in this territory for this church and for many of you. Yeah, to store the deposit of my spirit and to facilitate my move in this territory. Yeah, it's not just for this territory, but it is regional. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you and your wife. Stand up. Shumbre ketiskule. Kubreske. Shumbre tete. Kambroseta. I brought you in this place, kambrotete. As my camel. As my carrier. Do not look on the outside, but look on the inside. Yeah, you've been through the process, Shambrokete. You've been through the fire. You've been tested. And I'm now establishing your feet. And a new fire is going to burn through you. My power is going to flow through you. Yeah, even the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Yeah, the provision of the Lord, it's coming over you in a form of favor and open door, divine connection and resources. Yeah, I'm releasing it over you now. A second wind is going to blow through you. And where you are tired, you're going to be strengthened. And you're going to go in a new might, in a new power. Like Elijah ate that food from the angel and went in that strength 40 days. But you will go in that strength the next 20 years. Sure. Hey. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I see a revival breaking among the Hispanic people. But it will not stay there. It's for other people too. And the Lord will even use you to bring reinforcement to this house on a new level. And bridge the missing link between the generations. Oh, glory be to God. Shembrete. Hallelujah. Matakushile. 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 Kushibambrote. Abuskiteteka. Hallelujah. Come, let me minister to you. Puskipra totukia sa. Luskipa takushipa. Yes, you've been in that transition. But the Lord said, this is a new chapter. Glory be to God. And the exciting things about this chapter, you're going to write it with him. As you hear and obey and hear and obey, take one step after the next. Glory be to God. A beautiful tapestry of the design, intelligent design of God. Perfecting things and mending the broken pieces. And facilitating a new avenue and a new path to walk into that newness and that strength. Isaiah 40, 31, as you wait on the Lord, your strength is being renewed. Ah, the weariness is lifting. But there's a renewing of strength and power inside of you. Glory be to God. And that which has come to try to afflict you, to limit you, has been lifted over you. Even now in your body, you're receiving, glory be to God, a multiplication of strength and health. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Our camels are here. So to unpack these camels, one of the first principles that you have to learn to walk into is humility. They made the camels kneel down. Kneel down. That is a posture of humility. Hello? And Rebecca displayed an incredible amount of humility. Because you see, when Eliezer, tap and shadow of the Holy Spirit, positioned himself by the well, he made the camels kneel down. And when he prayed, he said, let there be any woman, that could have been anybody, that shows up by the well, when I ask her for a drink, let her not just give me drink, but let her give drinks to my camels. Hello? Now, Rebecca, go read your Bible. Say she was beautiful. Thank you for your support. You know when an American woman knows that she's beautiful? When a woman knows that she's beautiful and she knows it? Thank you for your support. Her eyelashes matches her shadow. Shadow matches her lipstick, and which matches her belt, her polish, and her shoe. And she shows up there, and the servant of the Lord said, give me some drink. Say, hey, have you seen all of this? I just got my nails done. Who do you think that you are? Hello? And that's how, hey, I'm not coming against beautiful women. Look at this one over here. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I want to speak in tongues sometimes when I look at her. Thank you for your support. And so the point is, she was humble. Hello? She was humble. When Eliezer asked her to give him a drink, she volunteered not just to give him a drink, but to drink, to give drinks to all the camels. Somebody say humility. 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 And because she humbled herself, God gave her a breakthrough. And she did not know that the camels she was watering was going to become her own camels. She did not know, come on now, that the camel she was watering was going to carry her to her destiny. She did not know. And many of us are praying, are believing God for a breakthrough and a miracle. Sometimes God will introduce you to a camel watering moment that is designed to shift your season. But when we are so proud and say, I cannot do this, I'm better than this, we miss on God. Humility is the low road to new height. The lack of humility subtract. Artificial humility detract. But sincere humility attract. It attracts the power of God. It attracts the blessings of God. It attracts, glory be to God, the provision of God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Glory. Glory. There was once in a country, you know, in Europe, where the government deployed a police officer to go check out a farm because they thought they were dealing some drugs out there. So the law enforcement officer came to this farm, and the farmer was a little bit older, and he said to him, I'm the law officer, and I am here to check if there are drugs in this farm. And the old man wanted to say something. The officer said, shut up. I am the law. Nothing discussed, nothing said. I'm going to search the farm. So the older man excused himself and said, sorry. So he said, go ahead and proceed. So the law officer proceeded, and as he went in, a few minutes later, the old man heard some screams. Someone was screaming, help, help, help. That was an officer. A swarm of bees were coming after him. And he said, help me. The officer said, the farmer said, you shut up. Why don't you show them your badge and tell them that you are sent by the government. Thank you for your support. The lack of humility sometimes lead to humiliation. Hello? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And sometimes when God is asking you to do something, you don't know, sometimes blessings come in a form of an assignment that is not comfortable to your taste. Like watering camels. You know, it's amazing how I met my wife, you know, many, many years ago. We've been married 17 years this year, but more than 20 years ago, my pastor, I just returned from a spiritual journey in Korea. I went there, I was praying and fasting. I was in the prayer mountains. I was fasting for 40 days, seeking God. And I came home, and my pastor asked me, what are you doing this week? He said, I want you to drive me to West Columbia. That's like 6 hours from Dallas. And everything in me was saying, boy, you just came from a long journey. You're tired. You're going to Germany the following week. You're going to start a ministry season. You need to get all your strength back. You're weak. And in our church, we had all kinds of professional people, police officers, and why doesn't he ask one of them to drive him? You know, at that time, I've been to like 52 nations, you know. Now I've been to like 124 nations. I was like, I'm an international missionary evangelist. Show me some respect. Hello? But I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit, drive him. So I shut my mouth, didn't say anything. I said, okay, yes, I'll drive you. And I'm so glad I did. So because, you know, back in the day, I used to drive this old Lincoln. looks like a living room. You know, I'm 6'7". My pastor was like 6'3", two big guys. So driving, you know, that 6.5-7 hour drive. We had, preaching was going on, back and forth. Worship was going on, prayer. The only thing that was missing was the offering. We had multiple services. And I'm thankful because he went on to be with the Lord a year ago, last December. And that's one of the most wonderful memories that I had. When I was doing his funeral, I talk about it. And so when we got there, it was his dad's church. And he was speaking. They were having a camp meeting. And he got up. And actually, his younger brother who pastored that church got up and said, "My brother Mike is here." And he brought his bodyguard. And everybody started laughing, talking about me. I used to be even bigger, you know. I lost like 65 pounds the last 3 years. And so, and then he got up and said, "This is not my bodyguard. It's a young man that goes to my church that God is using powerfully." As a matter of fact, he said, "Gee, come up here." He gave me the microphone. And he says, "Just pray over a couple of people here." And I call out like two or three pastors. I prophesy over them and I give the microphone back. After that, a lot of pastors that were there started to come and talk to me and say, this guy said, "Do you ever go to Europe?" I said, "I'm going to be in Germany next week." He said, "Extend your trip. I'm a missionary in Belgium." And he says, "I can organize a conference that can bring 15 churches together. We need to see the power of God in Europe." And I said, "Sure." I extended my trip. And I went to Belgium. And one of the churches that was at that meeting was my wife, my future wife's church. And she was in the meeting, even though we never met. Hello? The following Monday, the missionary said to me, "Today's your day off. You can go sightseeing, or if you want to, I'm going to have a concert 45 minutes away. You can tag along." I said, "I'm going to tag along." And when we got there, it was my future wife's church. It was her mom. Her mom said to me, that's where I met her for the first time, I met her mom. Her mom said, "We enjoy your ministry. Would you consider coming back next year and speak at our church?" And she was my translator. Come on, somebody. Several years later, I took her to Paris on the top of the Eiffel Tower on Valentine's Day. And I said, "Baby, we're on the top of the world. You're on the top of my world. Would you marry me?" Hello? We married 17 years. Don't miss the point. I felt like I was tired, but I didn't realize that I was in the presence of my camel. And that God was trying to give me a wife, which I was single for 10 years on purpose, not dating, waiting on the Lord. Hello? Camels come in form of people, in form of circumstances, even in form of enemies. You don't know how they will come, but you're going to have to discern when they show up. Because you might miss your camel watering moment and miss out on what God has for you. How do you unpack your camel? Somebody say humility. Humility. Tell the person next to you, be humble. Accept the assignment of service. Hello? Because a lot of time the blessings of God are going to be disguised in a form of an opportunity to serve. Okay, let's move quickly from that point. The second way you unpack your camels is by learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Because Eliezer, he's a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. Abraham is 140 years old. He is too old to make the trip. 500 miles, depending on what commentary you read. He's too old. So he relies on Eliezer, type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. Isaac is 40 years old, a grown man. He could have overrided his dad's decision when his dad didn't want him to marry one of them Canaanian women. Hello? But he yielded by depending on Eliezer's ability to find a wife for him. He yielded to the Holy Spirit. Rebecca, when Eliezer, Holy Ghost, spoke to her and said, give me something to drink, she yielded. And who was leading the camels, the 10 camels to Rebecca, was Eliezer who was leading the camels. And who led the camels back to Isaac? It was Eliezer. The camels coming is a move of the Holy Spirit. Bringing about the release of that transporter of God's blessing. And folks, you don't have to do anything. When he said, multitudes of camels are coming, he said, those of the dromedaries of Midian. Midian, that's the word for strife. Midian is the father of the Midianite. Go read the book of Judges. Those were the people that brought Israel on a lockdown for 7 years. You thought you had it hard in America? And they were a vicious enemy. They waited till the Israelite planted something. When it was harvest time, they came and took the harvest. Strife. But even those of Midian are coming. What does that even mean? It means the Holy Spirit has the ability to turn your enemies, those who hate you, and make them ally and make them work for your good. Come on, somebody. Come on. This is why I like the saga between David and Goliath. Because before David faced an enemy called Goliath, he was just an average shepherd boy. And the king would have never paid attention to David until he steps in the arena to fight Goliath. So God used that situation to elevate David by giving him the power to defeat Goliath. Glory be to God. Come on, that fight elevated David to a new place. He got the king's daughter. Glory be to God. So in the natural, Goliath was a giant, but in the spirit, he was a camel that God used to elevate David. Come on. The camels are coming, those of Midian. The enemy, come on, that is trying to destroy you. The Holy Spirit is going to weaponize that situation and turn it around. That which was supposed to be a stumbling block is going to be a stepping stone. Come on. God is going to weaponize that battle to bring about provision. Come on. Hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You set a table in front of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. Come on. Table provision. Oil anointing. God is going to release an anointing of the Holy Spirit in the middle of this battle to bring provision, elevation, breakthrough, deliverance. The camels are coming. The camels are here. Shout glory 3 times. It's a move of the Holy Spirit. Those of the dromedaries of Midian. The dromedaries of Sheba. Those of Sheba. When the queen of Sheba came, she came with a caravan, if you do a little study on this, of 800 camels. Carrying over $500 million worth of spices and gold and all of those things. Hello? And Solomon did not even know that she was coming. Come on, somebody. He was doing whatever he was doing, and she heard. about King Solomon. And when she showed up, she said, well, I heard about you, but a half of what you are was not even told. I thought you were all of that, but you are more than that. Because what I saw over supersede and exceed what I heard. The half was not even been told. Oh, my. I didn't even know what. Oh, my gosh. I'm losing words right now. Come on, somebody. I don't know who this is for. The half of what God is going to do in your life has not even been told yet. Come on. The half of what God, come on, will do with redeemed love, come on, has not even been told yet. The half, come on, they say New York is a secular state. New York this, New York this, New York that. Come on, there was a revival that broke here before in the 1800s. But I'm telling you, the half of what God, come on, is about to do has not even been told. Come on. The half of what God is going to do in this church have not even been told yet. Oh, it has not been told yet. Come on. It has not been told. The half of the, come on. Come on. Come on. The half. The half. The half has not been told. It has not been told yet. Glory. Glory. I say glory. I say glory. Come on, both of you, stand up. Put your glasses and next, come. Come on, get out of your seat. The half, I said the half of what God is going to do in your life has not even been told yet. In the name of Jesus, the power of God is touching you, is touching your blood pressure, is touching your life. I release the prophetic destiny of God now. Hallelujah. A move of God, because Solomon didn't initiate that. He didn't know. Hello, I'm here to prophesy that before this year is over, you're gonna have surprises. I say surprises. Holy Ghost surprises. Come on, you're gonna say, I didn't see this coming. Come on. But God saw it coming because the Holy Ghost was leading the camels to your business, to your house, to your... Hey! I didn't see it come. Hey! Shout glory three times!
It's a new season. Oh, new season.
Yeah, sing it.
It's a new day. It's a fresh anointing. Oh, it's coming my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. Oh, it's a new season. Sing it, oh. It's a new season. Thank you, Lord. It's a new season. It's coming to me.
Well, some people will say, how is this going to happen? I'm glad you asked the question, because Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says, when we do not know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will help us. Hello? When we do not know how to pray because of our weakness, that word weakness is translated asthenia in the Greek, infirmity, but weakness also means the inability to produce results. The Holy Spirit will help, that word help, sonantela bana, pronounced sonantela bano. It means the Spirit will come, somebody say together. Against. That's what it means. Sonantela bano means to, that word help, it means the Spirit will come together against. Together against. Against what? Your inability to produce result. Have you ever played that game called the tug of war? And when, let's say somebody else was stronger than you, and they were pulling you to the other side. And hypothetically, God would send a big black Holy Ghost like me on your side. Sonantela bano, coming together with you against your inability to produce results. Come on, this is what the Holy Ghost will do. How the camel is going to come? Well, the Holy Ghost will come together with you against your inability to produce results. It is not by might, it is not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So, if the camel's coming is a move of the Holy Spirit, it's a move of God, why don't we see people experience this? I'm going to tell you a couple of things, and then we're going to pray. You know, Dad Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, affectionately known as Daddy Hagin, said there are primarily two reasons why people do not experience the move of the Spirit. Number one, failure to believe that the Spirit is moving. Hello? Number two, failure to yield when the Spirit moves. And the first reason why people don't yield to the Spirit is because they don't believe. So he also talks about two kinds of unbelief. First kind of unbelief, unbelief based on the lack of the knowledge of God's Word. And the cure for that kind of unbelief is knowledge of the Word of God. The second type of unbelief, he said, is not being persuaded to act on the word. Hello? So failure to believe that the Spirit is moving because of lack of knowledge and because of not being persuaded to act on the word. Second reason why people don't experience the move of the Spirit is failure to yield when the Spirit moves. How do you yield when you come to a stop sign or a yielding sign? You slow down, you stop, and you give the right of way. Hallelujah. We've done the road Paris, Dallas, Dallas, Paris many times. We did it. We spent 4 months in Europe, did it, came back in January, you know, after, you know, later we're going to go back to Europe. But it's interesting that when you fly from Dallas to Paris, and Paris to Dallas, it's the same distance. But when you travel from Dallas to Paris, you get there faster. When you travel from Paris to Dallas, it takes you longer. 1 or 2 hours longer. Why? Tailwind versus headwind. When you have a tailwind, you go faster. When you have a headwind, you go slower. When you have a tailwind, you have help that pushes you. On the day of Pentecost, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. The Spirit moving is God giving you a tailwind. And if you yield to the Spirit, you're going to go faster. You're going to have momentum. You're going to burn less energy. But what happens when a plane gets there earlier than it is scheduled, the control tower regulates traffic control and have scheduled other airplanes to land. So there are no landing strip available. So what do? They ask the pilot to circle around. They call this a holding pattern. Here you are in New York City. You come in, you've seen the Statue of Liberty. Come on, you see different other iconic places. We have arrived, but what's wrong? Well, there's no landing strip. So we keep circling around. And I'm really concerned that many of us have acted that like control towers when the Spirit of God is moving into our midst, into our lives, into our families. Hello? Well, they got a meeting with a big black man I redeemed. Well, I'm going to put the Holy Ghost on a circling pattern. Maybe next year if they come back, because tonight I got to watch my show. Hello? But that's what you got a DVR for. That's an illustration. But many of us, a lot of times, we put the Holy Ghost on a holding pattern. We ask him to circle one more time. Oh, Lord, I know you want me to go visit my mother-in-law. Well, circle one more time. Lord, I know. Circle one more time. But I believe God is raising up a new generation of people who are hungry.
That's us.
They're going to say, I am a Holy Ghost control tower. I'm not going to put God last. I'm going to be like Abraham. I'm going to barack God. I'm going to bow down and worship him and put him first. And God said, if you barack me, I'm going to barack you. I'm going to rebaba you. If you put me first, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to rain down accumulations of blessings on you. I will multiply you by the myriads. Come on. I will multiply you by 10,000 millions. Victory is coming to your house. Breakthrough is coming to your house. Why? The Holy Ghost have found a heart where he can land and where he can move, and now the power is going to be released in your house, in your church. This is so rich. But let me give you one more point, and we're gonna do the camel activation blessing, the blessing camel activation. Now, how many of you know to water 10 camels? When the man only asked her to give him water, that's going the extra mile. Hello? Now, you have to know that there was a law in Israel. If you read the scripture where Jesus said, if a soldier asks you to carry his helmet, you can do it an extra mile, because it was a law. Any Roman soldier could have asked any Jewish person, you carry my helmet, my sword, or anything, they were obliged to do it for 1 mile. Hello? So the first mile was your opportunity. After that, you were free and clear. But the second mile was your opportunity. Hello? So she gave him water, that would have been fine. But she went the extra mile. And she watered 10 camels. Depending on how you look at it, some people say they can drink up to 40 gallons. 10 camels, that's 400 gallons. She must have been a strong, beautiful woman of God. She must have done at least 60 trips.
Wow.
Don't get this beautiful body, you know, deceive you. I'm a strong woman. Come on. That's what she was saying. I can bring it with the best of them. Come on. She did it. She went the extra mile. And you know, there's a law of compensation. The law of compensation says that the amount of money you're going to make in life is going to be determined by two things. The ability to do what you do and the degree of difficulty that there is in replacing you. Hello? When someone hires you and gives you a job, if you decide to show up late, leave early, do Facebook when you pretend to go to the bathroom, please don't raise your hand. This is not an altar call. Hello? You do the lease, but you want to draw a paycheck? That's not a way you're going to break out in your career. That's not excellence. Hello? But if you are that Rebecca, you will show up early, leave late, do what you're asked to do, and go the extra mile. And do other people's job. Become that go-to person. I got a great teaching there called Becoming Had to Win at Work. That manager, if he has to fire you, he's going to have to cry for 2 weeks. Because he knows, I won't be able to find somebody like that easily. That's how your value goes up in the marketplace. Hello? Where you learn how to go the extra mile. That's how you get favor with people. That's how you get ahead in life. Going the extra mile is one of the ways you unpack your camels. Glory be to God. There's so much into this. She was industrious. She worked hard. Work hard. Hard work beat talent when talent doesn't work hard. One of the ways you unpack your camels is by working hard. Being blessed doesn't exempt us from responsibilities. The message to the camels is not about God making you rich quickly. It's not just for the purpose of getting rich. Hello? Don't get it twisted. God can do it in one night. The Egyptian who mistreated the Israelite when slavery was over because of the power of God, God said to the Israelites, ask to your neighbors articles of gold and silver, and I will give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and you will plunder the Egyptians. Some of us are praying for breakthrough, miracle. We should be praying for favor. Some of us are praying for money. We should be praying for favor. When they got the favor, there was the greatest wealth transfer that took place. One of the greatest wealth transfer that took place. So they went from being slave one night, being wealthy the next night. God said, I can do it in 24 hours. But the purpose is not for you to become wealthy. The purpose was what? They were getting ready to go into their purpose, into their destiny. So the wealth empowered them to go into their destiny. The message of the camels coming is God unleashing a mechanism of provision and breakthrough to empower you so you can step into your destiny. Come on, somebody. Let's stand up. Let's stop here. There's much more into this. Hallelujah. We are going to pray prophetically. Before we step into this, I want to give you an opportunity to get right with God. I'd like to tell the story of the dream that John Wesley had when he found himself at the gates of hell. And his first reaction was to ask, are there any Methodists in here? They said yes. Any Presbyterians? They said yes. He asked for several other denominations. They said yes. Then immediately he was taken to the gates of heaven. He asked the same question. They said no. Then he he was a little bit agitated, and he said, "Who then is on the inside?" They said, "Only those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior." Hello? Your church membership is not going to save you. Knowing how to swim does not make you a fish. And going to church does not make you a child of God. Being a good person does not make you a child of God. Your denomination cannot save you. Your religion cannot save you. To be a fish, you must be created by God as a fish. To be a child of God, you must be born again. You must repent from your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Hello?
Yes.
Now, I'm talking to several kinds of people. Number one, if you are in this meeting tonight and you never asked Jesus to come into your heart, I'm talking to you. Number two, if you're here, maybe you asked Jesus to come into your heart, but you're not living right. I'm talking to you. Number three, if you're here, you're not sure that if you die tonight, you will go to heaven. I'm talking to you. Number four, maybe you're here, you love the Lord, but you are bound by a habit that does not glorify God. And you want to be free. That's called deliverance. I'm talking to you. Every eye closed and every bow down. Every head bowed down. Every eye closed and every head bowed down. This is between you and God. Draw a circle around you. It's between you and God. I don't care what you've done, with who you've done it. The blood of Jesus has enough power to erase your old life and create a new life. You are never too dirty to be cleansed. You are never too broken to be mended. God is not ashamed to be called your God. Jesus is not ashamed to be called your Savior. But all you have to do is say yes. I want to receive this miracle of transformation. If that's you, you say, "I want to receive the miracle of transformation. I'm in one of those four conditions. I want you to pray for me." Just between you and God, where you are, just raise your hand where you are. And I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. This is your moment. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. One more time. Maybe you should have raised your hand. I'm about to pray. Maybe you should have raised your hand or wanted to raise your hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Put your hands down. Let's all pray together with all the people who raised their hands. Say this with me. Say, "Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I repent from all my sins. And I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I receive the miracle of transformation. Transformation in my heart, in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, in my body. I will never be the same. Never, never again. In Jesus' name." Can you say